Hello, and welcome to the next in our Decisions Decoded series, focusing on decisions and themes in regulatory investigations and enforcement. My name is Catherine Pluck, and I'm a senior knowledge lawyer here in the Financial Services team in London. And today I'm joined by Financial Services partner Katie Stephen and counsel Jo Smallshaw. And we're going to be discussing the recent FCA enforcement case against Floris Kleeterman, former director of London Capital and Finance, which for the purpose of today we're going to call LCF. The case follows a decision against LCF in October last year. Katie, to start with, could you please tell us at a high level what happened in this case?
Yeah, sure. So the decision we're talking about today was published on the 13th of February, and it was against a former director of LCF, Mr. Kleeterman, and he had the remit for risk and compliance. He's been fined nearly £32,000 and he's also been prohibited. And just to give a bit of background to this decision, LCF's now in administration, but at the time, its business involved raising finance through issuing mini bonds, and then the money raised was loaned to third-party corporate entities. And the business was unregulated except for the issuance of the financial promotions related to that business. And the mini bonds were targeted towards and sold mainly to retail investors who then became bondholders. So LCF went into administration in January 2019, but it had already issued over 16,000 mini bond and ISA products, totaling over 237 million across over 11,000 investors. And the effect of LCF's collapse on these investors, many of whom were elderly customers on fixed incomes seeking better returns on their investments, was really significant. And customers lost huge amounts of their life savings. And as you've said, LCF had a final notice issued against it in October last year for failing to ensure that its financial promotions were fair, clear and not misleading in breach of the FCA's COBS rules. And the penalty that was imposed was a public censure, and we'll come back to that. But in this case, the FCA found that in his role at LCF, Mr. Kleeterman recklessly signed off hundreds of these financial promotions, and that contributed to thousands of investors being misled. And the FCA found that he was knowingly concerned in LCF's breaches, and that his conduct demonstrated a reckless lack of integrity, and so that he wasn't fit and proper.
So the breaches in the LCF case sound serious, Katie. Why wasn't there a fine against them in October?
Yes, good question. So the FCA says in the final notice that it would have imposed a substantial financial penalty on LCF for the serious failings, but it took into account the impact that a financial penalty would have on it, given it was in administration with significant liability to its creditors. And so instead, it decided to issue a public censure. And the final notice also mentions that if LCF hadn't been insolvent, as well as a fine, the FCA would have required it to pay restitution, both in respect to the profit that it gained from its misconduct and also the losses that have been suffered by bondholders as a result.
Understood. Thanks, Katie. There is some wider context to these decisions. Jo, could you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, that's right. So in May 2019, following a request from the FCA's board, the Economic Secretary to the Treasury directed the FCA to carry out an independent investigation into the circumstances surrounding the collapse of LCF, which had obviously received significant media and political attention because of its impact on retail customers. This investigation looked at the FCA's actions, its policies and its approach when regulating LCF, and was led by Dame Elizabeth Gloucester. The report following that investigation was published in November 2020 and concluded that the FCA didn't discharge its functions in a manner which enabled it to effectively fulfil its statutory objectives, that the bondholders were expected to expect and receive more protection from the regulatory regime in respect of an FCA authorised firm such as LCF than that which was in fact delivered by the FCA here. The report set out a number of recommendations to the FCA, which the FCA then accepted. Alongside this, the Treasury announced it would review the wider policy questions raised by the case of LCF, which related to the regulatory and tax treatment of the mini bonds. Following this, the FCA banned the mass marketing of speculative illiquid securities, including speculative mini bonds, to retail investors. This was initially a temporary ban, but was later made permanent. The FCA also then undertook a significant transformation plan to implement the recommendation of Dame Elizabeth Gloucester's review. Finally, given the unique circumstances surrounding LCF and its collapse, the Financial Services Compensation Scheme delivered a one-off compensation scheme on behalf of the government. And as at June 2022, the FSCS had paid compensation totaling over £115 million.
That is helpful to understand that context. Thank you. Turning back to the facts of the case against Mr. Huterman, Katie, could you please talk us through the key failings there?
Yes, of course. So just a couple of background points to mention first. The first thing is that the notice deals with misconduct by Mr. Huterman from February 2017. And that's because that was the first time that as an LCF director, he played a key role in the sign-off process for confirming that LCF financial promotions complied with the financial promotion rules. And also, each bond that was sold by LCF was accompanied by numerous financial promotions in lots of different formats. And the intention was to generate as much interest from the public as possible. And so although Mr. Huterman played a wider role in connection with all of these financial promotions, the final notice focuses primarily on his involvement in the information memoranda, brochures and the LCF website. And the FCA found that he recklessly signed off all of these as compliant with the FCA's financial promotion rules when he was aware of the risks that they weren't compliant. So looking at some of the individual failings highlighted in the notice, I'm just going to talk through a few of them and then I'll hand over to Joe to cover a few more. The first point is really that he didn't always follow the proper verification process for financial promotions. So there was a set process for confirming that LCF financial promotions complied with the relevant rules, including completing what was called a verification schedule and a financial promotions checklist. But for many of the promotions, such as some of the iterations of the website and the brochures, Mr. Huterman didn't complete a schedule or the checklist, as he didn't think these steps were necessary. And that was because the statements in those financial promotions were drawn from the overarching information memoranda, and so they'd already been through the process. The second point to flag is that the FCA found that he didn't apply appropriate scrutiny and challenge. So when he did complete a verification schedule for a promotion, he didn't review and reference the documentary evidence to support the representations made. He just relied on the word of LCF senior management and accepted the wording in the financial promotion as it was without applying appropriate scrutiny to it. And overall, the absence of that kind of scrutiny and challenge in the approval process resulted in it becoming nothing more than what the FCA described as simple and ineffective tick box exercise, which was incapable of identifying unfair, unclear, or misleading statements within the promotions. And the third point I wanted to cover before I hand over to Joe is in relation to fees. So LCF's financial promotions gave the misleading impression that there were no hidden fees, charges or deductions. But in fact, for every £1 invested, LCF paid fees of 25% or so to meet its online marketing and other support service costs. And these fees weren't disclosed to the prospective investor. Mr. Huterman knew about these fees and he had concerns about the risk to corporate borrowers, but he didn't make sure that LCF's financial promotions explicitly made reference to them and how they were applied to the corporate borrowers. And so in the FCA's view, this information was vital if potential investors were going to form a view on the risks of investing in LCF and its mini bonds. So, Joe, I'll hand over to you and maybe you can cover just the final points.
Thanks, Katie. So one of the other failings was that the reality of LCF's lending process was nothing like that, which was described in its financial promotions. So during the time in which Mr. Huterman signed off LCF's promotions, he was aware of significant red flags that indicated that there was a risk that LCF's lending process, as described in the financial promotion, was not being followed, and also that the LCF business was not sustainable. So, for example, despite him becoming aware of information that corporate borrowers didn't have, for the most part, realizable assets that could act as security for the loans, he signed off on promotions which provided prospective investors with assurances as to the secured nature of the lending made by LCF. The notice also highlights that Mr. Huterman didn't review any documentary evidence to check the LCF lending process was the same as that described in the financial promotions. This is despite the fact that at the time he was documenting his misgivings about how LCS senior management was making all the lending decisions to companies they had close connections to, but without any transparency or oversight. Another failing that the FCA found was in respect of the marketing of the mini bonds as ISAs. So the mini bonds that LCS marked as ISA bonds weren't in fact qualifying investments for inclusion within an ISA wrapper. And Mr. Husterman should have ensured that LCS Financial Promotions did not market the bonds as ISAs, but instead he recklessly ignored the warnings he received that they were not compatible with ISAs and instead accepted the word of LCS senior management on this issue without any challenge. Finally, in respect of the use of the wording describing LCF as authorised, the FCA wrote to Mr. Husterman and LCF on a number of occasions stating that LCF's website wasn't in compliance with the financial promotion rules and COBS because it highlighted LCF's authorised status without providing clarification that the mini bonds themselves weren't authorised. Despite this, Mr. Husterman repeatedly permitted the same misleading use of LCF's authorised status to keep reoccurring on the LCF website and in the financial promotions. And the FCA found that Mr. Husterman knew that this would likely mislead investors about the regulated status of the bonds. So as a result of his conduct, the FCA found that Mr. Husterman was knowingly concerned in LCF's breach of COBS. And they also found that he was not fit and proper on the basis that he lacked integrity and posed a risk to consumers and to the integrity of the UK financial system. The FCA therefore imposed an order prohibiting him from performing any function in relation to any regulated activities.
Thanks, Joe. Katie, any thoughts on the penalty in this case?
Yeah, so when calculating the penalty, the FCA didn't identify any financial benefit that he had derived directly from the breaches in which he was knowingly concerned, but they used his relevant income as the starting point and then took into account a number of factors when determining what percentage to apply to that income. So one of the factors was that the losses caused by the breaches, which he'd helped facilitate, were considerable, amounting to over 237 million being owed to bondholders, as we've said. And there were a significant number of individuals that have been affected by the breaches, and the breaches had affected a particularly vulnerable group, so the retired and elderly looking to invest their savings. The FCA also took into account that the breaches had had an adverse effect on confidence in the integrity of the UK financial system, to the extent that, again, as we've said, the HM Treasury took the unprecedented decision to compensate bondholders beyond the scope of the FSCS scheme due to the unique and exceptional situation that bondholders found themselves in. And they also factored in that he was the CF10, the compliance officer at LCF, responsible for ensuring that financial promotions were compliant. And his responsibilities were really at the heart of the misconduct, and that he failed to act with integrity throughout the relevant period. However, he did settle at stage one, and so he got a 30% discount. And without that discount, his fine would have been over £45,000.
Thank you, Katie. And thank you, Joe. A useful summary of the key points from this high-profile case. The FCA has noted that the Serious Fraud Office is still conducting criminal investigations into matters connected to LCF, and so we expect to see more cases in connection with this issue coming down the track. That brings us to the end of today's podcast. As some of those listening will know, we track regulatory enforcement decisions internally, maintaining our own database. Should you have any queries on our internal tracker or individual cases, please do not hesitate to contact any of us. And do look out for further podcasts in this series on our Regulation Tomorrow podcast page and blog. Thank you for listening.